R9.
From the Interim Director, Facilities Management Division, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report regarding courthouse complex and Vail Phillips Juvenile Justice Center security. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Wowzer.
Chairman, Supervisors, this informational report is regarding security at the courthouse and Vail Phillips facilities, specifically our screening stations. Through a combination of communications with the sheriff and internal discussions, there's several measures that we put into place progressively through over a number of weeks. Number one was what we did is we looked at our screening procedures, modified them slightly to be more conservative. Specifically, we looked at situations where we get alarms on our equipment, and we move to minimize those alarms, which could be anything from keys to change to, you know, anything metal in a pocket. We have significantly reduced the number of indicators and alarms that we get on our equipment. That, by nature, reduces the possibility of somebody getting in with something that some contraband or a weapon of some sort. We've also modified our identification card procedure where we will hand check IDs. I know it's inconvenient and another step to go through, but to be quite honest, it has eliminated at least at the minimum a question of does somebody have a valid ID coming in the building. In some of the holders that people use, including myself, the IDs can become quite worn and difficult to see. But with the number of IDs that we accept at the doors from municipalities, law enforcement, DA's office, and others, it really helps to have it in hand and look at the ID. Another measure that we put in place, simple but somewhat effective, is a barrier, a please wait here sign that puts a barrier between the line of queued up individuals waiting to come through the screening station. Gives it just a little bit space and comfort to the security officers. And we've continued with, internally conversations with a security work group that we've been meeting and have future meetings scheduled to work with the Sheriff's Department on reviewing and addressing any concerns that might exist on the screening process. And the ultimate, at the end of the day, goal is to have a more secure facility, or at least the most secure facility that we can have. Any questions?
Senator Bukowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I get into my real point, I just want to make some observations. I know this is going to sound really crass, but if somebody wants to get somebody, they're going to get somebody, okay? So we're able to protect people in this building. We're not able to protect them at the store or at church or at the intersection or when they get in their car or whatever. So, this false sense of security is troublesome to me, okay? Second point is that the safety building, the criminal justice facility with those courtrooms that had, for gangbangers and drugs and all that kind of stuff, the clientele is going to be a little bit more different, let's say, than many of the other courts that we have. Granted, you come to the courthouse, there's a reason, because somebody's mad at somebody, okay? So this false sense of security is troublesome, and you know what? I'll play the game, and, it's an inconvenience to show the ID and all that kind of stuff, but I'll tell you what really bothers me. What really, really bothers me now, my crux of my point. I think we do a tremendous disservice to our community when we walk in at 8:15 or whatever, and that line is winding all the way around outside. That's not fair to someone that's coming to get something from the Register of Deeds office or a marriage license or something like that. Okay, now there's got to be some mechanism that when a line gets to a certain point, that something triggers that we get more bodies over there to reduce the size of that line. And I think it's grossly unfair to those people. It really is. It's grossly unfair. My second point, you know, it's easier to get on a darn plane than it is to get into this courthouse. But you know what galls me is that when the weather is inclement and our security people are forced to have people take their shoes off, and you've got people sitting there in their stocking feet on towels or whatever that are soaked because the snow or the ice has melted, and now we ask these people to put their shoes back on. Okay? I mean, the lack of customer service is so really appalling to me. And Gary, I'm not on your case, but I wish that we would at least start to understand and realize that this is not Fort Knox. Okay? I understand the whole safety thing. But you know what? If you think that this building is going to protect people, you're sadly mistaken. Because, like I said, if somebody wants to get somebody, they'll get them. It won't be here, but they'll get them. You really want to get somebody, you'll get them. So, thank you.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question and a comment first. I know that we as elected officials have an ID, can walk right into the building, et cetera. I know a lot of attorneys or people that work within the court system have the same type of privilege. What is to prevent someone who is not an employee of the county or that works at the courthouse, that is, I'll say an attorney as an example, going to court, from carrying in something that's contraband in their briefcase by just showing an ID?
You have an answer for that, Mr. Wazir.
Chairman, supervisors, that is a valid point. And any individual, including myself, that walks in with an ID has that same opportunity. It's a level of trust that we currently have in place and accept. That's not to say that we haven't discussed that, and we have in the work group, and that is something that, again, we'll continue to discuss. It may be another change in policy. I don't know that we can do everything in one day and in one fell swoop, but what we can do at the entrances is at least put up a front barrier. It's screening by definition. It's a first-level screening, and what we have throughout the courthouse is deputies and bailiffs, and depending on the court and the activities in the court, sometimes some of the, and I'm not an expert on the level, but civil court might be less of a concern than a criminal or you know, a felony case. And I do know that the Sheriff's Department uses the appropriate amount of personnel to monitor any given court. In fact, as a side note, I was in a conversation with a deputy yesterday, and one of the discussions with somebody walking by was, could they have more deputies in a courtroom regarding something that transpired yesterday? So our screening at the state at our entrances is a screening. It's a first level screening, but the discussion doesn't stop there.
What happened yesterday?
It was just I don't know what the court was, but, and I'm not saying the deputies had to react to anything. I just think they had an increased presence in a courtroom because of one of the high profile cases that were currently being conducted, and that's standard.
So that is then you have the floor still.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My second question relates to some complaints I received from constituents who tried to attend our last open house. You know, we sent out mailings, did a lot of advertising, trying to just engage this branch of government with the community and get people down here to learn more about their county government. And I received complaints that people didn't realize they had to go through security. They had contraband on them, had to go back to their car, etc. And some of my constituents didn't even end up coming in that day because the line was so long. And they got so frustrated that they instead called me and said, can you just come to us in the district? We tried to come to the open house, but security was, we didn't know it was going to be like that, and it was such a pain in the neck that we declined to complete going through it. So I'm wondering, you know, obviously we might need some policy changes on a widespread day-to-day basis, but for special events at the courthouse, is there something different, like for the open houses, that we could look at doing for security to get the added traffic into the building quicker and with an air of customer service, as Supervisor Borkowski alluded to?
Mr. Wazir, please look into that when we have special events. Supervisor Washon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Who has done a professional threat assessment for the courthouse?
Chairman, supervisors, there were assessments done after 9/11. I was not currently on staff here at the courthouse. I would have to research those reports. We have on a regular basis worked with the Sheriff's Department, courthouse security, on day-to-day issues. As far as a formal assessment, I'd have to look at the dates and at least what was generated by those reports, but it was at least as distant as 9/11, and there may have been one after that.
Well, Mike, the reason I ask that is that I'd like to know if these decisions are being based on some kind of professional standard in law enforcement or someone else with a security background. Do you have yourself a security background?
Chairman, supervisors, no, not formally. I'd say the measures that we put in place are based on experience. Obviously, if what we put in place creates less alarms on the magnetometer and the handhelds, it's effective to the extent that we have less alarms. And the likelihood of something coming in either by accident or intent is at least reduced. To this point, through communications, again, internally with the Sheriff's Department, it's based on experience.
Well, like I said, getting back to the professional level, you know, instead of someone just, you know, our goal here is not to reduce the meter going off. It's to keep people safe. And there are multiple different ways to do that. And you have to also look at the ripple effect that your decisions are having through the system. The fact is, how much time are we paying in overtime and staffing costs in the court system because now people are late for court times and things like that. As it was stated, the inconvenience to the general public to come in for services, just coming in on a day when there, you know, lots of people in line for jury duty, just because we don't want to hear a beep at you know, the desk doesn't make any sense to me. And in fact, this, what I don't see is a real overall assessment of the situation. What is the real threat to people here? I guess the only threat that's been identified has been the beeping magnetometer. And I guess if it doesn't beep, that means the world's fine. And that's, you know, so it doesn't matter if we spend millions of dollars more to have deputy sheriffs sit down there. It doesn't matter if we spend millions of dollars more in overtime in the court system because people aren't showing up on time for either jury duty or to participate elsewhere in the court system. Is there, in this coming up capital request, anything that you've requested to improve the system coming in the door?
Chairman, supervisors, currently the only item in the capital request is additional screening equipment, the physical magnetometers. Like any other piece of equipment, they become outdated and increased repairs and updated equipment obviously is key to having a functional screening station. So currently the only item is some additional screening equipment.
Because one of the things that I think, as it was pointed out on customer service, you walk in the door here and we,
you know, I don't even think it looks professional. You have some junky old thing looking up there that looks like it's been around for 100 years. You have an old surplus, you know, World War II Army desk out there that does not exude the confidence that that people need when they come into this building. And I just think that that's an image, and it's a poor image for Milwaukee County. And I would expect that we would do a professional threat assessment of what is really putting people at risk. And I don't think requiring people to take their shoes off does anything to stop people being threatened here. I think it's just a ridiculous more PR of a statement than it is to actually have an impact on reducing the threat. I also think that just the lack of submitting a capital plan, you know, I just find that that appalling. And that this, you know, I think we really need to go back to square one on this whole thing of security, because it comes down fundamentally to training. The reason that a person supposedly, at least I have not seen anything on any kind of video monitor, that was that there was actually a deputy that walked into the courthouse with a gun in Sheriff Clark's little trial and error thing, that was a result of poor training. And I haven't heard anything about the actual improvement in training of personnel in any of this. I've heard we're going to make people take their shoes off, we're going to make them take their belts off so this thing doesn't beep. But I haven't heard anything about what a real assessment of the threats are, training of personnel, and submissions in the capital budget that would address courthouse security.
Supervisor Washburn, before Mr. Gwozdek speak on that issue, I was going to make sure that we understand that the staff that we have down, the security guards, they are one of the our frontline greeters. They are giving the people and when they walk into this building all the upper respect, and they also doing a hell of a job dealing with the issues that we are trying to front them. I think they are getting trained, and I had a question with Mr. Waza, and he's not going to elaborate on it, but I asked, where's the video? Because that is a training tool for our security guards. If that happened, because anyone do not know, any entrance you walk into this courthouse, safety building, any entrance, there are cameras. We know who comes in and who goes out. And Mr. Walsh did not have an opportunity to view that video. So the bottom line is, they are training those individuals. The security guards are under pressure to maintain what we have here, and they have each time been threatened to step up the step. And I want you to tell the security guards from me, I thank them for the hard work they're doing. We can get it better, but Mr. Wozniak, I want you to come back maybe in July cycle or September cycle and give us the threat analysis of this building. Because I know that we have issues about guns, knives that come in this building, especially in family care. And I know all the issues that we used to have. It was guns found. We haven't had no guns lately, but it was up when I first started. Some family issued domestic violence, came in with guns and knives. So if you can answer Supervisor Washburn's question, if you remember it, I will let him state it again. Then Supervisor Jersey will have the floor.
Chairman, supervisors, in general, the beeping that occurs when a metal object goes through the magnetometer or in front of the handheld wand. I think there's a direct correlation to metal objects and contraband or weapons. And if we can minimize a concealed contraband or weapon by screening, we're going to do that. And in the specific case of the sheriff's test, the additional training did occur, which is why the belts are being removed so that something cannot be placed behind a metal belt buckle. I flew out of town recently, went through General Mitchell, and obviously the TSA has a very thorough procedure, but I emptied my pockets. I took off my belt, I took off my shoes, and in fact, I didn't read the signs. I had to go back and be rescreened because I didn't completely follow every detail. I had to put some additional objects in the basket. That was the retraining and continued training. I agree that a formal threat assessment, an additional threat assessment can be done, should be done. And again, that is being discussed in the safety security work group.
Well, Supervisor Mayo has passed the gavel, so we'll give you a reprieve today on the rest of this. Supervisor Jerzyk.
Thank you. Part of the problem here is this courthouse is an old courthouse, and it wasn't built. Modern courthouses today, for example, would have separate entrances for prisoners that are being brought into trials and so on. This courthouse has to actually have those individuals walk through the halls and actually pass the public and so on. Extremely bad practice. But there's the limitations of this facilities is really what causes the problem. And I think this is as much a call for having to do the long-range planning around our facilities piece and C.B. Richard Ellis report and so on, as it is with regard to security. I think the security issues are valid. I agree with Supervisor Borkowski's comments. You know, there are lots of reasons people come to the courthouse. If we could somehow separate those, what I call public access things like marriage licenses, register of deeds, even register of probate, and have separate entrances for that public and make it more user-friendly, I think that would be a good thing. And I would challenge you to try to think outside the box for that a little bit and have a completely separate entrance for those courts that include criminal courts, family courts, and perhaps even the higher profile, some of the civil courts, small claims courts, where you have people who tend to be volatile and so on. And try to figure out a way that you're going to separate these different groups. The second group probably requiring much more screening, a much more heightened awareness of who's coming and going. You might be able to work something like that with our current facilities, but ultimately I think it's going to cause us to really rethink the planning of our facilities and get to the point where we're going to develop the courthouse complex and make those long-range plans. But I think we could look at possibly several floors where you have a public entrance which is less secure, but it's because the public that's coming in is not going to the courts, not going to the criminal trials, not going to all of those more high volatility groups. And maybe we could look at something like that. So thank you.
Vice Chair, Supervisors, you're 100% right. Or that is something that... because of the configuration of the buildings and where the courtrooms are, if we could restack everything today, that'd be the ultimate easy answer. And yes, that is the long term. I know I've talked to the chief judge, and that's a heavy view on his opinion. If we could segregate that, then we would be able to specifically screen towards the courtrooms. That'd be ideal.
Any other questions from committee members? Thank you. That's all we have for item 9. Madam Clerk, please call the